Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in North Bushy. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
We are going to be looking at a prayer for the next 3 weeks, which is really, really exciting. And this week, I am excited to share some thoughts on renewing our prayers with a childlike faith and what that looks like. I think actually it was quite apt that we did those prayers just before. It feels like this morning's kind of, you know, the Lord's doing stuff, isn't he? He is, which is great. So having Joshua, for me, for anyone that doesn't know, I have a 2-year-old little boy. It's been a massive learning curve. It's definitely a steep one. But it's really given me a knowledge and an understanding of what the Bible says about having a childlike faith in a deeper way when I watch him. Joshua, at the moment, is learning how to speak, which is interesting. You can have a pretty decent conversation with him. And his words have increased, and so have his questions. So he has quite a lot of amazing moments. So everything's like, oh, wow, mummy. He's like in awe of, normally it's strawberries and zebras. He's quite demanding when it comes to strawberries, and he's quite playful when it comes to zebras. They're kind of the things in his world at the moment that he's super excited about. And he uses every opportunity to flex his words and just build on this next phase of development. There's a book that I'm going to reference throughout this talk. It is absolutely amazing. It's called Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God by Tim Keller. And he says this: prayer is awe, intimacy, struggle, yet the way to reality. There is nothing more important or harder or richer or more life-altering. There's absolutely nothing so great as prayer. And I can really relate to this. Joshua's feelings when he's communicating to me as his mum are 100% pure. His awe, I mean, he loves strawberries. Zebras are number one. And when we talk about prayer, I just get that sense of just knowing how excited the Lord gets when we show our awe and our response in that way. I think probably the most well-known verse in the Bible is the famous one from Philippians: don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests to God. So that's in every situation. Walking down the road, at school, in the car, in a tricky situation, enjoying family time, celebrations, and in hardship. And for me, there's no better way of praying and expressing that prayer than the model of Jesus when he teaches us the Lord's Prayer. So I'm just going to take a minute to read it. And I would encourage you, because sometimes when people say, oh, let's read the Lord's Prayer, like, oh gosh, I've heard this a million times before. But let's just take a minute just to take it in. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And like I say, we might have heard this a million times before, but I feel like every time something new and something divine can come out of it if we let it. I feel like we could probably spend a year just studying every 2 or 3 words of this. But this morning, what I really want to do is use the Lord's Prayer more as a framework and just focusing on that kingdom element of it. And just hopefully get some practical stuff too. So this morning, let's consider prayer from a fresh perspective. Whatever your experience has been, let's start from scratch for these next few weeks and do the journey together as one body, one family, and one church. So my first thought: prayer is a relationship. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray Our Father. Obviously, calling God Our Father means that we are naturally His children. And I don't have a great relationship with my dad. So when I first became a Christian and I first started saying this prayer, I just couldn't relate, because in my world, it made God somebody who I had to barter with, someone who I had to really kind of beg stuff from. And in my early 20s, I went to a discipleship training school with YWAM, and we kind of had like forced quiet time in the morning. You had to go. It's very American, I'm sorry. And my happy place, it was in West Kilbride in Scotland, literally amazing. And we had this kind of big Celtic beach down kind of where the house was. And so I would go down at about 6:30 every morning, and I'd sit on these massive stones, have my headphones in, listening to worship music and just looking out over the oceans. There'd be like seals playing and, you know, just the sun would be coming up. It'd be beautiful. But what I realised a few years later was that in that moment, what the Lord was doing was teaching me intimacy with Him, but He was always on the horizon. He was always on the sunset. He was never sat next to me. It was only a few years later when I used to go to Soul Survivor just down the road, and there's an amazing lady there called Jeannie Morgan. And Jeannie did this sort of prayer course, and we did this exercise where you closed your eyes, you invited the Holy Spirit, and then you would picture yourself, you'd ask the Lord to give you a room that was special to you. And that room had to have a door. That was like the only kind of thing that she sort of stipulated before we did the exercise, because it was your choice to invite Jesus into that room. And I remember at that point of having my special room and invited Jesus in, the thing that broke me was that He came in and He came with the Father heart and He just held me. And it was incredible. Jesus refers to our Father as Abba, and this doesn't translate as Father in Hebrew. It translates as Daddy. So someone that open-armedly holds us, comes to us, draws near to us. As I was pulling out the phrase children in my Bible app for kind of scripture to use in this talk, I realised that mine's sort of chronological. So it starts with the Old Testament, which is all, you know, children must learn, children must do, like law, 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 law. And then you get into the New Testament and it's like, come to me, children, have this relationship with me, children. And it was just so beautiful just to see that storyline travel through. So here's some examples. Deuteronomy, teach them to your children. So I think they're talking about the law. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In Proverbs, start children off on the right way that they should go. It's true. And even when they're old, they will not turn from it. And then the transition, which is just beautiful, is Romans. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And in 1 John it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And in Ephesians, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. And if we don't have this head-to-heart mentality, and if we don't live our lives with that childlike faith, then we're not going to get the ease that it is to come to God. He's there, he wants to embrace us, and he's with us whenever we need him. Again, in this amazing book, Tim Keller says, prayer turns theology into experience. So it's from the head to the heart with a childlike faith. My friend once preached on the Father Heart of God and used this fantastic fact, which is in the Old Testament, God as the Father is referenced only 40 times. But in the New Testament, it's 260 times. And it's obvious, right? We know why. It's because of Jesus. Jesus has removed all those blocks. And the key to prayer is the intimacy that comes from being able to call him Father through Jesus. So that's my next reflection, is that prayer gives us intimacy. As Joshua and I chat more, I find out what makes him tick. So there are times at night when we read a little story, or sometimes two or three. We go upstairs, he gets to choose his book, and then he chooses the rocking chair or the bed. And then we nestle down and we read whatever that story might be. But it is absolutely my most favourite time, because we can just be together and we can just have that special hair-sniffing time where I'm just like, oh, and I hope he stays my little boy forever. Another amazing quote is, the Bible does not present an art of prayer, it presents the God of prayer. We should not decide how to pray based on the experiences and feelings we want. Instead, we should do everything possible to behold our God as he is, and prayer will follow. The more clearly we grasp who God is, the more our prayer is shaped and determined accordingly. And that can only happen by spending time with him and having those times where we just nestle down. We get stuck into our Bible and we just have those quiet times. When we pray, we understand God's heart for us, his kingdom, as we pray, your kingdom come. And we can ponder that. We can get a sense of God's heart, what stirs up intimacy. Get a sense of God's heart, and that stirs up intimacy and grows a rich relationship where miracles can happen. We can really see all those elements of the Lord's Prayer come together. And that intimacy also brings us peace. As we become assured of who our Heavenly Father is by spending time with him, we can declare, your will be done, at the start of our day, at the end of our day, and all through the day. We're not doing anything in our power, but with Jesus right there with us. So again, it's just taking that from the head to the heart mentality with a childlike faith. My next thought is that prayer builds trust. So one of Joshua's favourite nursery rhymes is Humpty Dumpty. I'm sure we all know it well. But the thing that Tim and I have to be really mindful of is that Joshua will sit on a chair, or he'll kind of climb up on our dining room table, sing it at the top of his voice, and then we have to be fully prepared. I can see a couple of you nodding because you know what's going to happen next. For him to fling himself off, because he trusts that Tim or I will catch him, because we've done it so many times before. And as we pray and spend more time with God, we can trust that he will give us everything that we need. He will catch us in those moments when we need him to. And if we can't see it right now, why don't we pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread, and ask him to show us where he's providing. Another quote from Tim Keller's book is, in short, God will either give us what we ask for or give us what we should have asked for if we knew everything that he knew. When we partner with him, things change. We pray for the things that he wants to see happen. And when we pray into those things, we can see miracles and we can see mountains move for ourselves, our family, and our community. And the exciting thing for us is, as we see around us the things that need to change, the last, the least, the lost, our friends, our family in need, our prayers move God's love into action. So if you weren't here, if you weren't praying, yep, God would still be moving, but specifically into those things you're praying for, like you're moving, well, he's moving mountains through your prayers, through our prayers. Our childlike, vulnerable, needy prayers move his love into action. Corrie ten Boom once said this, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tyre? Are we steering his love into our families, our friendship groups, and our communities? Again, it's just that from head to heart with a childlike faith. So we've looked at prayer relationally, with intimacy and trust, and I've just got some thoughts for some practical application for our weeks ahead. The first is, if you feel like you've lost what it means to be a child, then observe a child. You don't have to have a child to do this, but when you see a child, they are fearless, they're vulnerable, they're trusting, they're a bit too honest, and they can go on and on when they want something. They love spending time with the ones that they love. They'll hang off your every word and follow you around like a shadow. And they trust their parents for everything, to be clothed, to be fed, and to be looked after. My next thought is pray regularly in all times. When I first became a Christian, I was only 21. I know it's not that long ago. But there were some amazing women in my church at the time that would do this thing every week, and it kind of became a running thing that I was desperate to find out what the outcome was, which was that they would pray before leaving the house for the Lord to show them a picture of somebody and a word for that person, and they would go out into Watford and search that person out. They'd literally prayer walk, and they would, I would say, 8 times out of 10, find that person, give them the word. That person would either end up at church, end up becoming a Christian, or just end up released from a very sticky situation, which was amazing. So God's moving all the time if we just step out in faith. The next thought is that we have to listen. Now, God will speak to us in different ways, and in a couple of weeks' time, Luke is going to speak on some of those aspects. But just to kind of top line think about it in the coming weeks, I would say sometimes in your quiet time, you might close your eyes, you get a sense of something, you get a word, a picture pops into your mind's eye, any of those things. But I would say always just test it out. There's no harm in going up to somebody and saying, hey, Meredith, I feel like this is what the Lord's saying. I might be wrong, but can I share it anyway? The worst you can say is no, right? The next thought is be persistent. So Matthew 7:7, another goodie, says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. When we persistently pray into the things of God, he answers. So like Joshua, who literally pesters me at least 10 times a day to eat more strawberries, we can pester our Father, we can be audacious, direct and bold. We can literally pull that fridge door open. And with persistency comes the art of sticking with it. So regardless of which generation that you're in this room, and we're all now boxed, aren't we? We're like Gen Z or millennials or whatever we are. The thing that we need to get really good at is sticking with it and persistency. And with these things in mind, we can take it from the head to the heart with a childlike faith. And let's not forget that prayer is hard work. It is. I'm not standing up here saying it's perfectly easy, but it does get the job done. It's a discipline, it's an investment, sometimes it's a sacrifice. And the great thing is, when we open our Bibles and we have no idea what to pray, Romans 8 says, we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So it's always good to know that Paul was just as clueless as us sometimes, right? Max Lucado says this: our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. And the most encouraging thing for me in the New Testament is that Paul struggled. You see that all, you know, throughout his letters, and we struggle. So God knows, and he gives us his Holy Spirit because his power is made perfect in our weakness. His power heals, restores, saves. It can bring his kingdom here and now. It shifts things when we pray, and he uses each of us individually to see his kingdom come, as well as corporately. But prayer does need practice to hear his voice, and I love the fact that Jesus only gives us that one prayer to learn and meditate on and use throughout our life, because quite frankly, I don't know about you, but I'd be rubbish if I had any more than the one to remember. When Joshua started to speak, he would repeat words over and over. And now, when he wants to understand and get something in his mind, he says, "Mummy, what's that?" So I get that about 10 million times a day. Tim Keller, again, in his book, says this. It's actually quoting Eugene Peterson. So Eugene Peterson reminds us that because we learnt language so early in our lives, we have no memory of the process and would therefore imagine that it was we who took the initiative to learn how to speak. However, that is not the case. Language is spoken into us. We learn language only as we're spoken to. We're plunged at birth into a sea of language. Then slowly, syllable by syllable, we acquire the capacity to answer. Mama, papa, bottle, blanket, yes, no. Not one of these words was a first word. All speech is answering speech. We were all spoken to before we spoke. In the years since Peterson wrote this, studies have shown that children's ability to understand and communicate is profoundly affected by the number of words and the breadth of vocabulary to which they're exposed as infants and toddlers. We speak only to the degree that we are spoken to. It is therefore essential to the practice of prayer to recognise what Peterson calls the overwhelming previousness of God's speech into our prayers. This theological principle has practical consequences. It means that our prayers should arise out of an immersion in the scripture. We should plunge ourselves into the sea of God's language, the Bible. We should listen, study, think, reflect, and ponder the scriptures until there is an answering response in our hearts and minds. It may be one of shame or of joy or of confusion or of appeal, but that response to God's speech is then truly prayer and should be given to God. If the goal of prayer is a real personal connection with God, then it is only by immersion into the language of the Bible that we'll learn to pray, and perhaps just as slowly as a child learns to speak. I'm sorry, that was quite a long quote, but I just thought it was really good to get it all in there. I couldn't pick just one little bit out of it. And as we read our Bibles and take it from the head to the heart, that our Father is healer, we can pray for healing over the sick. And when we take it from the head to the heart, that our God is provider, then we can see and pray for provision. When we know that he's deliverer, then we can see his deliverance. He transforms not only what's around us, but us by the power of prayer as we see him move. And finally, prayer doesn't need to be alone. I have the most amazing prayer WhatsApp group with about 20 of my girlfriends. It's called the Sisterhood Prayer Group. It started because we were all watching a David Attenborough programme together and we just got obsessed with it. So we'd all have to WhatsApp each other on a Sunday night and be like, did you see that? It was cool. And then it kind of slowly became a, I'm going to have a bit of a rubbish week this week. Does anyone mind praying for bum and bum? And then over time, it just became really raw and really vulnerable. And we started praying for mums that are sick, for jobs that were going wrong, for, you know, all manner of things. And it's just an amazing group that's really cultivated relationship and intimacy and trust. And so I'd encourage you to find somebody to pray with, form groups to pray in, and just, yeah, have some prayer time by yourself because it's so special. I think Jesus modelled this beautifully. Actually, when you think about the New Testament and how Jesus taught prayer, he lived it. He prayed alone. He prayed in all times, in all situations. He taught his disciples, then they prayed together, then they spread that model of prayer around them, and he prayed every sort of prayer. So with these things in mind, we can, again, take it from the head to the heart with that childlike mentality, that childlike faith, sorry. So in conclusion, as I said at the start, it is a journey. This is kind of a start from fresh, no guilt, no shame in how you have or haven't been praying. Let's keep our eyes on him, our ears on what he's saying. Let's start small, but let's start meaningfully. Prayer is about having a childlike faith to draw close to our Abba Father, sharing our hearts in intimacy and trust. It fixes relationships, it heals wounds, and it brings freedom. Prayer is an opportunity to see God's love move by his power through our prayers. And when we pray, things do happen. I feel like we really need to like get that. Our prayers bring something new and they affect change. There's so much power in prayer because all power is in our Father. It's not from us. We're just his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is in us. So my prayer is at the end of these 3 weeks, we'll all be up for practicing this with fresh eyes as a personal discipline and living this out together. And we just need to remember to take it from the head to the heart, with a childlike, trusting, wild faith.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.